Book of Matthew, chapter 2, hear now the word of our Lord. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go, and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel, weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee. And he came, and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning about what I will call late-breaking news by the angel Gabriel. As we approach the celebration day of our Lord's advent into the world, I want to consider this morning the two announcements made by the angel Gabriel in the book of Luke. These two different annunciations are, of course, John the Baptist's birth, who was the great forerunner of Christ, proclaiming the kingdom was at hand and preaching repent for the remissions of sin. And, of course, the second announcement being the announcement, the birth of Christ. I submit to you this morning that both of these announcements would today make the evening news as late breaking news because of the unlikely occurrence that either one of them could ever happen, and because of their unbelievable similarities, probably the newscasters would have been accusing the angel Gabriel of not having done his homework and using the same announcement for the birth of Christ that he used for the birth of John. These announcements, that of the conception and birth of John and the conception and the birth of Christ, are very similar in their nature, and I want to look at that today. But we will first turn to the book of Luke, the first chapter of the book of Luke. And if you're listening in on the internet, you will need to get a Bible in front of you, because we will look at a lot of scripture today, but it all is in the book of Luke. So turn to the first chapter of the book of Luke in the Companion Bible. It's page 1429. And turn to the fifth verse of that first chapter. And there we will start to read verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Now, the first thing you want to notice is that the Herod here is Herod the Great. This is not Herod Antipas that we read about later in chapter 3. There were two Herods. This Herod died early on. But there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias. And Zacharias was of the course of Abia. Let me ask a question first. What does that have to do with anything, the course of Abia? Right, the course of Abia is very important to understand, because that is in reference to the courses that the priest rotated in the temple. There were 12 priests, and you can go back into 1 Colossians, the 24th chapter, and you can see where Zacharias was of the 8th course of Abia. That meaning that he served in the temple 8 weeks after the courses started, and the courses started at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacle in September. And so he served in the 8th course, and then he was in there the 8th week after the Feast of the Tabernacle. And then after the 12 priests made their complete rotations, he would be there again on the 20th week. And then he would be there again on the 32nd week after the rotation started in September. And that is important, because that's how we back into understanding exactly when John was born, and therefore when Christ was born. Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had, that's Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he, that being Zacharias, executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. Now, they rotated not only every week, but they rotated responsibilities. One brought in coal, one brought in, took out ash, one spread incense in the Holy of Holies in the temple. So according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, unto Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, more than likely, Zacharias had probably forgotten about his prayer because he was so old and Elizabeth was well past the time that she could bear a child. And so it shows that sometimes the prayers that we have are answered not immediately but in the future. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. I submit to you that this would have made the late breaking news for a woman the age of Elizabeth to conceive a child by John, who was, or by Zacharias, who was an old man at the time. Verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him. If you'll notice, him is capitalized, that being Christ. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John was to be the great forerunner of Christ. And we can read later on where he did. He preached in repentance for the remission of sin. Verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? And what he's really saying is, you got to be kidding me. You know, how can this be? How can a man my age, who's past all that, and Elizabeth is barren, past all that, like Sarah in the Old Testament, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these things, to show these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple, because only the priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. So he would have completed his week on a Friday night, because the Sabbath day was Saturday. He could not travel on the Sabbath. So when he was finished, he had to wait, because the next day was the Sabbath day. The next priest would have come in. And so he didn't start home until Sunday. And he was about 2 days from home. So once he started to travel, it took him a couple of days to get home. And of course we know then that Elizabeth conceived on that day or the next day when he arrived at home, which would have been because around June the 23rd or 24th, because he was in his second time in the temple, which put him there in June. And so now you begin to see how we back into where Christ, how we figure out when Christ was born. Verse 24, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why was she troubled? At that point, he had not told her anything. He just said that she is highly favored and blessed. What was the reason for her being troubled at this point? Well, I think the reason is because of the way women were treated in the Middle East, then and still today. They were not given a very high accommodation or state of affairs. They were downtrodden still today in the Middle East. And when he said, Blessed art thou among women, that you are highly favored, this was something that she had probably never heard. She had not been probably treated this way in the culture that existed of the day. Women were pretty much run down. And so he then says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. I contend this would have made the late breaking news of the day had they had TV, because here first John or Elizabeth was going to conceive a woman of age, and here a virgin is to conceive. And this would have been late breaking news. In the 32nd verse then, He shall be great and should be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So here the angel is announcing that the king was going to be born through her. Verse 33, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So Elizabeth conceived in June 24. Now we're 6 months later, and Mary conceives. And the date, of course, is December 25th. And that's the date that we celebrate at Christmas. It's actually the conception of Christ and not his actual birth. He is born 9 months later, which puts it September the 29th, which is the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And he is circumcised 8 days later, according to what the Old Testament teaches. Verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for thou shalt be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Skip, if you will, down to verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, which would have been about the time then that John was born, and then returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, which was according to Jewish law, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, remember he was dumb and couldn't speak, how he would have called. And he asked for a writing tablet, Zacharias did. And he wrote saying, His name is John. And they did marvel all. And his mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosened, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that he should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, if you will, skip over to chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Itura, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And it was written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jump then, if you will, over to chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. This is the first sowing of the kingdom, and it is done by John the Baptist, proclaiming repentance for the remission of sin, for the kingdom is at hand. And this verse is in a parable that Christ taught, and John the Baptist was the first sowing. There are four, but this is the first one. Now, the other breaking news was to the shepherds. And if you'll go back to chapter 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This, of course, as we saw, can be calculated to be December the 25th, based on the fact that John was born and then Christ would have been born 6 months later in December. This all fits with what we've talked about before, that the Old Testament said he was to be born and circumcised on the eighth day of the Feast of the Tabernacle. The fact that there were no shepherds in the field in December anyway, it's winter time and all the sheep are back in, and so it all fits perfectly with his birth being in September. Now this angel, if you'll notice here, it doesn't say that it was Gabriel. It just says an angel. More than likely, it was an angel of great importance, because any time that there was any announcement that had to do with a king or with the kingdom, it was always an angel of importance. So there's some speculation, but there's also some scripture that shows that probably this was Michael and not Gabriel. But regardless, it's concerning the king. And for those of you who want to study a little bit more about how we calculate the birth of Christ, you can look back in your appendix in the Companion Bible in Appendix 179. Now, there are great similarities in these two announcements. The announcement of John and the announcement of Christ are very similar. If you will, turn to, again, back to chapter 8. Verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout the city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. Here is Christ, and the 12 were with him. This is the second sowing. Go to verse 6. We read verse 5. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. This is the second sowing of the kingdom. The first one was by John the Baptist in verse 5. The second one being by Christ in verse 6. We are not going to go there, but in verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. That's the third sowing, which was by the 12 after Christ was crucified. And the fourth sowing, verse 8, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. That is the fourth sowing of this parable, which is yet future and will be done during the millennial kingdom. So John the Baptist was the forerunner. He sowed the seeds of the kingdom and repentance for the remission of sin, and it was rejected. Christ came along and taught the same thing. It was rejected. Christ was crucified, and the 12 came along during the book of Acts and taught again the same thing, repent for the remission of sin, for the kingdom is at hand. And had they have, the kingdom would have come, but they didn't. And so at the end of the Acts period, the nation of Israel was set aside, the church of the one body comes into play. It's 2,000 years later, and we're waiting for that kingdom to come. Now, I have a handout here that shows more graphically the similarities of these two announcements. And until you get the details of these announcements by the Gabriel, by the angel Gabriel, you don't quite notice how similar they really were. And I think it lends credence to such a magnificent scripture that we have when it has these types of details. If you'll notice, I've got them here in two different groups, the first being the announcement of John the Baptist, the second of Christ. Look at the first line of John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel announces his birth. That's in Luke 1, and it's got the verses there, 11, 13, and 19. Look at the announcement of Christ Jesus. The angel Gabriel announces his birth. So in both cases, it's the same person. The second line, Zacharias is troubled and exhibits some unbelief. Mary is troubled but exhibits no unbelief whatsoever. Verse line 3, the promise is that Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And line 3 of the on Christ is promised to Mary, thou shalt conceive. The next line, fear not, Zacharias, Mary, fear not. Thou shalt call his name John, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be the prophet of the highest, he shall be called the son of the highest. Filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, the Holy Ghost shall come unto thee. Her full time came and should be delivered. His days were accomplished, and she brought forth her firstborn son. The same thing with John the Baptist. She brought forth a son. Next line, neighbors and cousins rejoice. Angels and shepherds all wondered with the birth of Christ. John was circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. Christ was circumcised the eighth day in the temple. At the birth of John, they laid up in their hearts, and in the birth of Christ, his mother kept all things, all these sayings in her heart. And Zacharias, prophet, song. And of course, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And the same with Christ, the Christ grew and waxed strong in spirit in Luke 2:40. It's unbelievable how close these two announcements really are. And when you put them side by side like this, it shows even more so. But I think this is very interesting, these two stories and what we can derive from it if you really read the scripture and pay attention to what it says. So many people, when they read that Zacharias was of the course of Abia, they don't ask the question, well, what is Abia? And yet that becomes the key for understanding what the timeline was of the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Christ. And it doesn't change anything, really, with regard to the gospel. It really doesn't make any difference. Christ died for us, but it lends credence to the scripture when you can see the truth and the fact that he was actually born or conceived on December 25th and born on September the 29th. Now, in the first 3 or 4 centuries, the Christian community knew what December 25th was. They understood. But when Constantine decided that Christianity would become the state religion of Rome, in order to appease all those other type of religions that brought in, for example, the Yule log came from Babylon, and the tree came from Egypt. When he had to appease everybody, he tried, and some of those pagan things had sprung up on December the 25th. And so from that time on, that became a celebration day that included the conception of Christ and all of these other pagan religions as well. And that's how it became thought of as the actual birth and the nativity. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the advent of your Son, Christ Jesus, into the world. We are grateful for the salvation that comes through him. And we're grateful for the written word whereby we can understand. Lord, we pray that you would continue to open our hearts and minds that we may learn and grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.